vision is an interesting thing. It's not really just a physical reality, a physiological thing of the eyes, but it involves in a real way the mind as well as the heart. You know, to understand something allows me to look into it more deeply and to see it in a different way. And seeing it and knowing it more deeply helps me then to love it, which then in turn helps me, you know, in loving that thing, that person, to see them yet again, even in a deeper and truer way. And so real vision is not just simply a matter of visual acuity of the eyes, but also that attunement of mind and heart to that truth that is there before me. That's a reality not just kind of on a human level, but the faith level as well. You know, that my heart and mind is attuned by faith, that I can then perceive, you know, the deeper spiritual realities, the deeper supernatural realities of God in all the manifold ways that those are given to us. And that's what we see with Peter today in our gospel. Peter is given this gift of faith to really see who Jesus is, to see him beyond what the people and the crowds thought and in the end didn't really grasp about this Jesus. And so Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus points to where that vision, that knowledge comes from for him. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father." This is a gift of faith that helps you to see truly who I am. In the same way, we also, fellow disciples with Peter, following in his footsteps, may we exercise that vision of faith to really see Jesus. And to really see Jesus, the Son of the living God, present here in the Eucharist, present in the Eucharistic species, the bread and the wine, knowing that that's really and truly substantially the body and blood of Christ, and it's our risen Lord, it's his soul and divinity as well. And also to be able to see how Jesus is present with us as our high priest, leading our worship, you know, to the Heavenly Father, to have that deep vision of faith about what we're about here, because really it's about what God is about here. Faith needs fertile soil, as you have in the parable of the sower, you know, that good soil to receive that. And so faith needs that fertile soil of heart and of mind. So all of that kind of conformed by faith to help us really understand the truth. How much we need to then be educated in what the church believes and to ask indeed for even more faith and to live by it. One thing that might help us, though, is that gift of art, is the way that things can be depicted visually to help us through visual things see and with our heart and mind the deeper faith reality before us. And so there's a video called "The Veil Removed" that depicts, you know, the reality that is truly here and present as we celebrate Mass. And it's meant to be then, you know, visually a support for that deeper vision of faith that needs that fertile heart and mind to receive it. And so let's take a look at that video. It's called "The Veil Removed." It's from Spirit Juice Studios. So hopefully that video helps open our hearts and minds to the incredible reality that is here. And there's so many different details that I could speak about, and I'd love for you at the end of this year of revival to be able to talk about, oh, this is why they put this in here. That's why they did that. This is what this means. Maybe even telling somebody else, you know, about the Mass, having been so enriched in this year about it. You know, and there's so much that they try to depict there. Just the reality that, yes, in Mass, you know, earthly life, you know, is taken up into heavenly, and heavenly comes to us and draws us into that eternal worship of God. Heaven and earth meet in the mystery of the Mass. And then in every Mass, our lives are plunged right into the Paschal mystery, The Paschal Mystery, which is that name for the whole life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. You can see how in the video how Jesus, our risen Lord, acts through the ordained priest. And he does that to then make present here and now for his church the very sacrifice he's made on the cross, bringing its power and its grace, its redemption right to us here and now. How Jesus is both priest and sacrifice. And then you'd see how those angels, you know, coming from the people, how people's prayers and lives are brought forward to the altar and to be offered to God in that perfect offering of Christ. And then they receive God's loving response, foremost, the gift of his Son in the Eucharist. You know, that's what happens here. Why is it veiled? Why is it veiled? I mean, there's so much to say about that, but I just simply share a quote from St. John Vianney, the patron saint of diocesan priests, where he once said, "If we really understood the Mass, we would die of joy." You know, unveiled, it's just so much, too much indeed for us. And so our Lord, in his love and his humility, veils the true depths of what he's giving us, so that we can really dare to approach him. Ask to grow in this vision of faith, to behold Jesus here as Peter could behold Jesus and know that he is Christ, the Son of the living God. Along with that gift of faith, then, Peter was also given the keys of the kingdom by Jesus, that great sign of the grace and that responsibility of governance for the church, and that's then extended to the apostles, and then beyond them to their successors, the bishops, in communion with Peter. And so the bishops of the United States have discerned, have prayed into this, and have decided that there needs to be this great call for Eucharistic revival in the United States. And with those keys, they proclaim that. And so it's so important for us to really take that up, to follow that guidance and that leadership this year. And so a revival, what does that mean? Well, I think often, you know, we see that Catholics, they get swept along by simply the currents of the day, by the way of thinking and believing or not of our world. As Isaiah once said of Israel, their hearts they've gotten fattened. They're dull to believe. And so we need a reviving. There's so many Catholics who are not here, who rarely come or don't come at all, and so many Catholics who don't see with mind and heart illuminated by faith. And so we all have this great need for reviving. So some graces we want and we ask for in this year of parish Eucharistic revival is, I think, first to really understand and lift up our hearts in deep understanding and faith, in true worship of God with Jesus Christ. Understanding that this isn't just kind of our human endeavor, a Littleton thing or a light of the world thing, but this is a Jesus Christ thing, our high priest, and we're with him in that. And then to receive deeply, to be well prepared, to receive the huge font of graces that come from the Eucharist, to receive those graces for conversion, for holiness, which is another way to say joy and peace and virtue and love, experiencing Jesus truly alive in us. And then in our next year of revival, which is then the final year, the year of Eucharistic mission, to then really go forth, as we are dismissed by the deacon, to go forth from Mass with Jesus and his great desire for souls, and to build up his church, against which Jesus promises the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail. And so at Light of the World, there's many wonderful things I look forward to, and beautiful things that we'll do during this year of Eucharistic revival. In our August bulletin, there's on page 5 kind of upcoming highlights of things during this year of revival from this fall, doing what I call ars celebrandi, the art of celebrating Mass. That's normally taught to priests, but there ought to be for all who are at Mass learning the deep art with their gestures, their voice, with their heart, with their mind, how to really enter into the depths of Mass. And so we're going to have a preaching and teaching series about that. And then in the spring, a deep dive into sacred scriptures about the Eucharist with Brand Petrie. In the spring, a wonderful exhibit originally put together by a young man, Blessed Carlo Acutis, that displays the incredible Eucharistic miracles, those visual signs of the great supernatural depths that Jesus, that God has shared with us in these miracles, to contemplate those. And then later on, towards June, there's a national procession from four directions in the United States going to a Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis, and the one from the West Coast will pass right through Denver, pass right through here, and we'll be hosting their stop in Denver for that national procession. And then you might notice at the confessionals, we've had a new lineup of saints that are there at the confessionals, all eight saints tied in with the Eucharist one way or another. And around the Archdiocese of Denver, there's seven parishes designated, to be local pilgrimage spots to meditate on different parts of the mystery of the Eucharist. And so we've got this in our bulletin. Of course, we'll keep communicating that. At our summer festival, we've got cards that have all that information. And so I just invite you into stepping into this Eucharistic revival, that we would enter more deeply into these incredible riches that really are so precious and given to us by God. So I just leave us with some more words of St. John Vianney. He once said, "There's nothing so great as the Eucharist. If God had something more precious, he would have given it to us." And so may we understand the great gift, hearts and minds formed in faith to receive that well and to truly live from it and for it and to share that with the world.